but to think all that he's done for me.
Yes.
And not just the tangible things, the things I can touch, but the intangible things, the things behind the scenes that I can't tell none of y'all, the things he did in that midnight hour in my life and in my spirit. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you. Glory be to you. Glory. Have your seats.
Thank you.
He's so worthy. So worthy to be praised. So worthy to be praised. I was praying this morning before service, and I was kneeling down praying over the prayer card, and I saw a prayer card, and it was a prayer request on it. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, well, that one's an answer. So I grabbed the card, and I looked over. I saw another one. I said, oh, that one's answered, too. I said, glory be to God. It's nothing like God just to answer your prayers. So we've been on this prayer series, and we've been digging deep in prayer, getting deeper and deeper in understanding prayer. We talked about praying through pain, the persistence of prayer. We talked about being humble in prayer. We talked a lot of things about prayer. Prayer is a direct reflection of your relationship with God, and it's important that we have a prayer life. It's important that we talk to God. So we're going to continue to look at another aspect of prayer. I want you guys to get your prayers answered. And there's so many reasons that God doesn't answer prayer. Sometimes it's just not his will or it's not the right timing. But sometimes it's us. And so I'm going to deal with that aspect. I can't deal with his timing. I can't deal with his will. But I can deal with us. Of why we're not getting our prayers answered. So we're going to deal with us today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Glory to God. Have you ever prayed for something for so long and God said no, and then you get to a point in your life, you're like, ooh, I'm glad he didn't answer that prayer. So it's times like that that you know God is all-knowing. He know we may change down the line, we may grow down the line.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. But it's interesting because, you know, me and my wife, we pray for a lot of things, but some stuff we prayed for when we first got married, we're so thankful. You know, he didn't answer that prayer. We didn't need that one for you, Lord. I'm sorry. Lord. One other thing. I wanted to reiterate the mirror. The Lord just keep pressing it up on my heart. As, you know, we talk about when you get saved, God puts a mirror in front of you. A mirror is a reflection of what you see in yourself. And as you continue in your walk, he puts another mirror that allows you to see deeper. So every time you walk, you're going to continue to put mirrors in front of you that allow you to see deeper into yourself and see what else needs to be changed. All right? So I want to reiterate that because I want you guys to know this is a process that we're in. It's a process. And it's a lifelong process. Lifelong process. So it's a process that we're in. It's a lifelong process. And every mirror is going to reveal something different. Every mirror is going to reveal. God is going to always reveal areas that you need to grow in your life. Baby Lenny. We had this conversation last time, man. Hey, Baby Lenny. Hey, up here. Look in the pulpit. Hey, man. Are you ignoring me? Come on, man. We here. All right? We cool? Right. we hear a lot in this ministry in the same way, same spirit. Pastor Ian was talking about service. This morning when she was talking about gifts and knowing what you're supposed to do, and this morning when I woke up, God said, my people all have a purpose, and we all say, oh, I got a purpose in life. But we're not purposed in our intentions in our everyday life. God said you have to approach every day purpose. And I mean, I know this is going to sound real spiritual. If you're not there in your process, it's okay. But at one point, you're going to wake up and say, you know what, let me go through my day. This, and this is not part of my purpose. I ain't going to purpose myself to do those things no more. At some point, you're going to be purposed to only do what's in your purpose. You don't want to fill your day with nothing else. I know that's all spiritual and all that, but at some point, that happens. It's like a businessman. It's like a businessman that wakes up every day, don't want to put effort into his business, don't want to get his business right, don't want to help his customers. That don't make sense, do it?
Right.
It don't seem like his business going to grow.
Mm-mm.
But see, I love how God puts tangible things. Like when you talk to Chill, when you talk to James, to mind-blowing businessmen, you see how purposed they are.
Yeah.
If you talk to them, you see how much knowledge they got. It is utterly amazing to be so young with so much knowledge. But it's almost like that they just so purposed in their business, and that's why they're successful, even at a young age.
Amen.
I said, Lord, if we could be purposed in our Christianity, we could be successful in our Christianity. So get purpose. You know what? That's just a challenge.
Yeah.
I ain't even got in the message. I'm so sorry, but that's a challenge. This week, when you wake up, I just want you to kind of go over your day and just eliminate one thing that's not in your purpose. Now, I ain't saying get all spiritual and talk about, okay, I'm not even going to go there. But don't get too spiritual with it. But just find something that you know is not part of your purpose. Just eliminate it. Say, you know what? I'm not going to purpose myself to do that no more. You want me to tell you why I'm telling you this? Purpose is an intention. When you intentionally do something that's opposite of God's will, that's called rebellion.
Yeah.
Rebellion is as witchcraft. So your actions end up cursing your life. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Witchcraft is something that's spoken out to curse somebody that's walking with God. So if your intentions are purposely against the will of God, it becomes rebellion. Rebellion is as witchcraft, so your actions curse your life.
Wow.
You understand why Christians stay in turmoil? So we got to get purpose. I know that's spiritual.
Amen.
I know that's too spiritual. I'm sorry. But yeah, get purpose. Lord, I guess we could just say amen, take offering, go on. Get purpose, y'all. Please get purpose. It's so important that we're focused on what we're doing. All right, let me stop for a second. Just look around. I just want you to look around. Everybody look around and see everybody. We got some beautiful people in this ministry. Sharp dressers. Everybody look around and see today. Do y'all realize that y'all are the future of a huge mega ministry? You are the foundation and the future. If you not purpose, how the ministry gonna be purpose?
Amen.
So you take it more personal and apply it to your life.
Amen.
If I'm not purpose, everything that's connected to my life, am I gonna curse it? Is my intentions gonna curse stuff? I know my intentions curse my finances. When I was spending money, I ain't had. Is that tangible enough?
Yeah.
You spend money you ain't got, your finances be cursed. Because you be in debt. That's tangible.
Yeah.
Stay purpose. God has put us here to be successful and to be purpose. And we have to be purpose in our walk. So many of you got such a purpose on your life and such a calling on your life. And I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to get called and it take years for you to start walking in your purpose.
Yeah.
It took for me to finally just say, you know what, I got to get purpose in my life. I got to do things intentionally in my life to get into my destiny.
Yeah.
Y'all are destined to be great.
Yeah.
I know it's at least 2-3 millionaires in here. And I use money because it makes you feel good. Money is nice. You know, it's like 2-3. If you ever talk to Bernard about cars, it's like he know everything. But the thing that I like about what Bernard teaches about cars is he started a long time ago. You remember when you could get in the engine? When you could open the hood and jump inside and fix stuff? You can't do that no more. He knew cars back then, but he knows cars now. So as life and his destiny got more detailed, his purpose and intention was to learn and grow. As God continues to get more complex and detailed with your destiny, you got to challenge yourself to continue to learn and grow in him.
Amen.
What you know in God now is not going to work in your next season.
Yeah.
You got to know God in a different way.
Yeah.
That's why certain things come in your life. God wants you to know him in a more intimate, in a different way. All right?
Amen.
I can't get off of that. Lord Jesus.
That's real good.
We got to get to prayer, though. We got to get to prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Did I say Chronicles?
Yes.
2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14. Y'all probably don't need the Bible to read this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So we're going to talk about sin does matter for prayer. No, y'all want to talk about it, that's what we're going to talk about. Maybe that's why we did the whole purpose thing, because that was nice.
Yeah.
This one a little bit more. Sin does matter for prayer. It matters. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for the rhema word of purpose.
Yes.
We thank you that all of us will have an intention to be more purposed in our life. And Lord, we receive and accept the challenge. I'm going to do it even myself to plan my day out and then go over the day and see what is not part of my purpose, and I'm not going to be purposed to do it. My intentions are only going to be for you. So Lord, I just pray for your anointing as it continues to flow in this place, that you will speak to me thus what you would have me to say. I love you and I praise you. Bless your wonderful people, Lord. We are so thankful for who you are. So we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, these prayer messages are not long. They're very, and they're purposed that way. The purpose not to be long because they can be repetitive. And want you to grasp it and be able to add something to your prayer life every time you hear a message on prayer. I can't get off the purpose thing, but I want to talk about something that's purpose. What used to amaze me is I would go to church for a series. And you know how churches would start series? They would have a series of prayer, a series of finance, and a series of humbleness, a whole bunch of series. And I would listen to a whole bunch of messages. And I would only learn and do like one. And I say, I learned 10 things, but I've only applied one to my life. And I said, why am I not purposed to add this stuff to my life? So when we sitting here getting prayer, we should already be humbled in prayer. We talked about that. We should be persistent in prayer. We should know how to pray through pain. When you start hearing, don't come to church. Don't be like me. Don't go to church 2 times a week and your life never grows because you don't apply nothing to your life. Don't do that. Apply it to your life. It's funny. We will go to school and study if we're going to get money. We will get training for the job if we're going to get money. We will do a lot of things, but invest in your walk.
Yeah.
So don't sit underneath all these prayers and be like, you know what, I'm not going to add that piece right there to my prayer life. Add everything.
Yeah.
Increase your prayer life. All right, let's talk about the word of God. Old Testament, your actions would produce your forgiveness and your blessing or your answered prayer. This is Old Testament before Jesus came. In the Old Testament, your actions after God talked to you is how you got forgiven. Thank God we don't live by that no more. Y'all don't know when to shout. Because if my actions had to produce my forgiveness, there's some things I probably wouldn't be forgiven for.
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, your actions produced your forgiveness and your answered prayer. In the New Testament, all you got to do to be forgiven is say, Lord, forgive me. The more you start to realize how Christ died, the more you love on people. Because you realize he died for forgiveness of not just us sanctified people's sins, but the wretched and the worst sin in the world. And when you see things, and like me, I'm a big children lover. So anything that has to do with hurting children, I think that's the worst thing in the world. To me, that's like the top of the line. If I could put my sins in order, that would be the top. But Christ died for that too. I know we don't want to say it because we live in the natural, but he died for every sin, every sin. So it's a quick and easy, Lord, forgive me, and meaning in your heart, forgiveness. But what the Lord wants me to talk about is how our actions are having a direct reflection on the fact that we're not getting answered prayers. Now remember, don't get spiritual. God has his will and his timing. I'm talking about the things we control and how our actions have a direct reflection. So turn, go over with me to, what is a good scripture? Go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, and go to verse 15. And I want to read something to you that shows how God was very one-directional. It was, okay, you messing up? This is what I'm going to tell you. If you do this, this is what you get. If you do this, this is what you get. And I want to show you Old Testament principles. Sometimes understanding Old Testament allows you to appreciate the fact that you live underneath New Testament love and blood covenant. Makes you appreciate a little bit more that you ain't lived back in those days. It's kind of like slave. Have any of you men and some women, have any of you watched like some slavery stuff on TV and you'd be like, I'm glad I ain't lived back then because I wouldn't have been they'd have hung me up. I would have been fighting back and trying. It's because we live in this era that we think going back to that era we will rebel so quickly and we'd be able to fix everything so right. So Old Testament understanding allows us to appreciate New Testament blood. So I just want to read something to you. All right? Come on, y'all can smile. Verse 15 in Isaiah chapter 1, it says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear, because your hands are full of blood. Wash, make yourself clean, put away evil, and your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Even teaching was Old Testament principle. This is a process and it's learned. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red, they will be like crimson, they shall be like wool. And listen to verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I will bless you. And verse 20, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God was very simple. You go to him in prayer, you tell him what you need. He said, okay, do this, you get it. Do this, you don't. You see what I'm saying? You do this, you get it. But if you don't, this is what you get. So now we live in this. Well, let me look at this real quick. You see where it says, just verse 15. I'm not going to go through the whole, but just look at verse 15. He says, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Here are the people of God doing wrong in the sight of the Lord. And they want all these blessings from God. And y'all know when we pray, when you're really in need, you stretch out to the Lord. Your hands is up. What God was telling them is when you present yourself to me, all you are presenting is your rebellious ways. It's not like you're saying, Lord, I don't want what's in my hand. Lord, I don't want all this sin. Please forgive me. The people would go to God in the middle of sin and not care and say, look here, God, bless me. And God is saying, when I see that, I hide my eyes because I don't want to look upon sin. This is why we have to, like, when you hear songs about Christ, it is very important. I don't care if you shout to yourself, but just be thankful inside because it's because of Christ. Do you understand when you are doing wrong, God does not look upon sin? Why? Because if he looks on sin, he judges it. That's why he doesn't look at us in a sinful state. That's why to God, all of us look real good. Because what Jesus does is he goes, makes sure we right, presents us to God, and when we're not right, he stands in the way as the advocate for our sins. You see why Jesus loves you so much?
Yeah.
He's so great. He protects you. He loves you so much. So you got to kind of just appreciate Christ for who he is. Now, I want you to pay attention to one thing, because later on in verse 15, it says, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. I want to clarify that because I did a study one time. And that not hear comes from the Greek word that actually means attention. So I know people say, well, I know God hears me. He hears you. But when your life is full of sin and mess, and your first response is not, Lord, forgive me, but you kind of go to God like, whatever, my life is what it is, now I'm about to ask for you to bless me, God just simply stops paying attention to you. Now, we've all felt that. You may not want to admit it here when everybody looking, but we've all felt that. Like, no, well, I don't think God's paying too much attention to me right now. And you know, I know there's quiet seasons, there's time God doesn't speak, but there are times when our actions are just so not right and so not in the will of God, he just stopped paying attention to you. Until your posture changes to, okay, Lord, let me get it right. Let me stop some stuff in my life. Forgive me, give me strength. I need to stop some things because I need God paying attention to me. I know y'all won't hear this, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay. So now let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Go back over here. I just wanted to touch on a few things. You probably don't need to go back, but it says, when my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. When my people who are called by my name, isn't it funny? We have to understand. We run around and we say, I'm a Christian, right? Well, then you God's people, right? Well, then you're called by his name. Christian is Christ-like. That's really what we are. We're Christ-like. Christian is really a religion that we have put together the best way we could and have gotten it wrong a whole lot and become very man-made in a lot of stuff. But we are Christ-like. So we are called by his name, right? So who is he talking to? He's talking to us.
Right.
I used to hear these type messages, and I would see all the saints looking at all the sinners. And I'm saying, he not really talking to them. When he say those that's called by my name, he's talking to us.
Right.
It's us. This message for us. This scripture is for us. I'm having fun in the Lord. Okay. Now I want to talk about what happens before prayer. We've been talking a lot about prayer, and I want to talk about a little bit after prayer. And then I'm done. Okay? It's very simple. I wish I could see how y'all look at me sometimes. It is so funny. I thank God for preaching in the older church when you see people who will look at you disgustfully, get up and walk out on you preaching, fall asleep on you preaching, roll their eyes at you preaching, and mouth something to you while you preaching. When you come through that, the way y'all look at me is all love. It's all love. I've seen some stuff. I'm like, no, she did not just mouth to me what I'm doing wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. y'all are so great. I love you guys so much. Now, we talk about prayer. We talked about humbleness in prayer. But what I want to get y'all to understand is to be humbled in posture when you're entering into prayer, right before prayer. There's nothing like, oh, okay. When I was in my messed up days, I would go to my parents and ask for money in this cocky-like way, like they owe me something. My father's response, I don't know if I can say his response, but he wasn't giving me no money.
That's right.
But I didn't realize my cockiness. Like, I would go to them like, let me borrow $5. He'd be like, and he would, this is my father would do. Open up his wallet, be nothing but money in there. He look at me, I ain't got it. I'm like, man, come on. But it was the posture that I went. It was like this arrogant, you owe me. Please, hear me. We have to stop going to God like he owes us anything. We are under a lot of grace and mercy. If we talk to, if God give you what you owe, you would get more whoopings than you got blessings. So we can't go to God like you owe me. So we got to remove that cockiness as we enter into prayer. And I know some people, I know, when you are, one thing the old church teaches you and old saints is they can be very sincere and not really care. And that works the other way because they can be very mean and not care neither. But one thing they used to do is when they would go to God, it was almost like somebody died. Like, it was like funeral time. Like, they would go to pray. And I get depressed from, now this is my mindset back then, from their posture and how they would go to God so lowly and so humble. And I'm like, it don't take all that. Just tell them what you want to tell them. But it's after I started going to God in a cocky, arrogant way that I realized why they intentionally did it that way. Now I ain't saying you got to get all. When you have, don't go home, pray with the kids, and be, you know, start a funeral in the house before you pray. But you got to change your posture. You know, even when you upset, we talked about you can be upset and respectful.
Right.
You can really feel like God owed, you know, I really felt my parents owed me stuff, but there were certain ways I had to go about doing it. So you can be all your feelings you can have and still be humble before you go to God in prayer, all right? So I want you to intentionally humble yourself. And it's not spiritual or religious to start every prayer with, Lord, forgive me. That is a great thing to start every single prayer with. Now, you ain't got to pray over your food. Lord, forgive me and I bless the food. I ain't saying you got to do that. But when you go to God in prayer, it is okay to say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for your grace and mercy.
Yes.
It is nothing worse than constantly going to God in a cocky way. And then God, because I've heard this. I am transparent so you guys can grow from me. But I've heard God tell me that Job saying, where were you? I've heard God actually tell me, who are you to even talk to me this way? Your posture all wrong. Look how you coming to me. I am God. So we got to change our posture. Be humble, okay?
Amen.
Then we pray. So the Bible says, my people called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. This is the part I need us to get. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. Wouldn't it make more sense to turn from my wicked ways and then I can seek your face? Don't that, I used to think my Bible was messed up. And I have found mistakes in my Bible. Like, no, I'm not saying I'm Jesus in the scripture wrong. I'm saying I found literal mistakes, like they switch words in my Bible by accident in the print. So I found mistakes. Y'all look at me like, this boy is not that holy, finding mistakes. Not like that. You know, I found mistakes. Literal editorial mistakes.
All right.
Y'all should have seen y'all face looking at me. Editorial mistakes. Y'all killing me. Come on now. Y'all look at me like, I'm out. This is my last day at this church. I ain't never coming back. I found editorial mistakes when I would look in other people's Bible and be like, oh, this was supposed to be here because the sentence didn't make sense. So I used to think that was wrong. I said, Lord, how can we seek your face before we turn? Don't I have to turn from evil to even be in the area to seek your face? So let's talk about that. This is one of the biggest issues I have with Christians as a pastor, not as one myself, which just means is I have this same issue with myself. Y'all hearing me? I have the same issue with myself. Isn't it funny that we have all these struggles in life? And I would talk to people and they say, I'm struggling with this. I'd be like, you are? They would tell me everything they're struggling with. Remember I said myself, right? So I'm not judging nobody.
Amen.
So they would say, I'm struggling with all this. I say, you know, what scripture you use to combat that? I don't know. I couldn't find no scripture. Did you look? Well, I don't know. How is it the children of God, we go to the doctor. The doctor said, take this to get better. We go get it filled. We take it. We struggle and we get sick in this Christian walk. And we got all these prescriptions up in here, and we don't know not one single one. I suffer with anxiety. I told y'all anxiety and depression for years before I finally said, let me find a scripture in the Bible I can say that I can combat the sickness of anxiety and depression. It took years. If you have struggles, whether it's attitude, frustration, find a scripture and apply it. It's like medicine.
Yeah.
Just apply. When you're going through it, just say the scripture. My scripture for anxiety and depression is, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now catch this. Bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. What that scripture means is everything I think, I can submit to the will of God. So when I'm thinking that I'm about to die, and it's nothing like having an anxiety attack, and thank God for my wife and my parents that watched me have horrible ones. I'm talking about emergency room 3 times a week. I'm like, you know, 20-something, I done had heart workups up and down. I done went to the hospital, the doctors and said, this boy having a heart attack. Blood pressure 200 over 190. My heart beating 170 beats a minute, and I'm just laying there on the bed, and the doctors say he having a heart attack, and I was never having a heart attack. It was anxiety and the fear of dying. And I started saying those scriptures and knowing it don't work right away, but does medicine you take work right away?
No.
When you go to the doctor, you take something, you take it for 2 days, you're like, this stupid medicine don't work. Doc called the doctor, tell the doctor it don't work, he say keep taking it.
Right.
Over time, you start to get better. Scripture is the same way.
Hey, yeah.
Apply the scripture over time.
Yeah.
Glory be to God,
yeah.
You get better.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to this. To seek your face, turn from your wicked ways. Let me tell you what most Christians do. If I have an attitude, which none of y'all have, if I have an attitude and I realize I've humbled myself, I pray to God and I say, I need all this, God, and God says, I need you to correct your attitude, this is what we do. We try to fix our attitude ourselves. I'm just not going to go off. Sound kind of simple. Somebody do something. You can kind of do it. I'm not going to go off. You do other stuff. Bite your nail. Shake your foot. Put your hand on your hip. You do a whole bunch of stuff. You don't go off. Over time, you will eventually go off again. The seek your face is, this is it. If I have an attitude and I pray to God, he said, my people call by my name, humble, pray, seek my face, then turn. You have to start seeking out God before you can turn from your wicked way. The key is, if I have an attitude, let me seek God on meekness and temperance.
Yeah.
That will help me turn from my wicked ways.
Yes.
God had to put him, you seeking his face first,
yes.
Or else we would think we could turn from wickedness on our own. So the problem we have is we humbly pray, we humble ourselves, we pray, but then we don't seek God's face. You have to seek God for what's going on in your life. And not the superficial seeking of, okay, Lord, help me with my attitude. You don't learn nothing about meekness. You don't learn nothing about temperance. You don't learn nothing about the flesh. So you're not learning things that are seeking God's face to turn from the wicked ways. So the goal is to seek God's face. And how do you seek his face? By his word. We are the most illiterate group of people. That is the truth. Now, you don't have to be, like, there's some people who can just, I know some people read a scripture, they'll never forget. I ain't like that. I don't memorize stuff great. You know what I mean? Times I've been embarrassed, you be a pastor. And they be like, hey, pastor, why don't you do the, this is when I first started. When I first got the pastor title, they be like, hey, pastor, read the communion scripture. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't even know where the scripture at. Didn't know where it was at. I couldn't remember it. I don't remember well. So what I have to do is when I find something, I go over it. Have you ever, I don't know if y'all ever had youth ministry, but in youth, what we used to challenge youth is learn the scripture a week. Learn the scripture a week. How many of y'all learning scriptures? Learning, I'm talking about learning scriptures, no scripture. You don't have to quote the King James. You can just say, I know it say something about me being blessed here. I do this and I'm blessed. Something. Learn the principle of Scripture, the foundation of Scripture. We don't learn the very thing that allows us to seek God's face. If you don't seek his face, there is no turning from wickedness.
That's right.
It's just a bypass that you sit in this bypass area for some time before you give into it again.
Right.
If you don't learn, if you got a lust issue with women and you don't learn, I'm going to have to deny my flesh. God made me to desire women. So that desire, I thank you, you don't take away.
That's right.
You could desire something else. I mean, these people got some strange desires. So if you desire, you know, and that's just, stay with it. Okay, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to desire a woman. And I know you made me that I would desire a woman. There's nothing sinful about my desire to have affection with the woman. Now, the actions that I may take can be sinful. So now teach me temperance. Teach me how to control myself. Teach me that your grace is sufficient. Teach me how to burden my flesh. Teach me those things. That's seeking his face.
Yeah.
Unless you go there, the wickedness will eventually recreate itself and come back up. Now, I ask you this. If you are a parent and your child asks you for something, okay, and you know If I give them this, they're going to do something really bad. You're not going to give it to them. How do you know? Because of how they act every day in your house, right? When you see a change, then you treat them as a change. When I was doing very bad, out in the clubs drinking, smoking, I go ask my parents for money, I ain't got nothing. Let me ask $5. I ain't got $5. Then he go out and buy himself something nice, not mad at him, cussing him out. When I started to get my life together and my parents saw it, now mind you, all my father and mother said, we don't have money for you, get a job, get out the house. That's what I heard for years when I was out in the streets doing stuff I wasn't supposed to. Finally, I got saved, I went back, for y'all don't know, I dropped out of high school, and I started hustling, doing bad stuff. I went back to school, got my diploma, talked to my parents, said, you know what, maybe I should go to school, but I know you don't have no money. This is what I told them. I'm going to go to school, but you don't have no money, so I can't go to school because you told me to get a job and get out. My father's response was, if you go to school, I'll give you some money. Well, you told me you ain't had no money. His response was, I didn't have money for you in your foolishness.
Amen.
God is the same way. He got every answer to your prayer, but he doesn't have it for your foolishness. He has it for his glory. When I started to do right, I'm like, man, my parents rich. Every time I need money, they gave me money. I need to go. Movies got money. Need gas got money. It was sometime my father would check on me. You got money? I'm like, no. And he'd give me some more. Now, do y'all see the tangible in that? Do you know God is the same way? God, if you start doing good, God will check in on you. You need something else? Yes, Lord. Yes, Daddy, I need something else. You see the tangible aspect? God is the same way. He'll start answering your prayers. I would come home. My father would be like, you good? You need some money? I'm like, man, I think my parents hit the lottery. I think they hit the lottery and they never told me or my sister. Because all of a sudden, he had more money. He didn't have more money. He had more money to bless me with because he knew I was doing the right thing.
Amen.
The checking in part is what touched me so much with my parents. I got to the point I was like, I'm just going to ask them $5. That's my little allowance. That's all I need. My father, I asked for $5, he give me 10. Oh, y'all don't know when to shout. Because when you ask God for one thing, and he give you a whole bunch of something else, glory be to God. Me and my wife been praying, asking God for money. I was making a certain amount of money. We was asking God for a $6,000 raise. God gave me an $11,000. That's how you shout. You get in the will of God, in the direction of God. He will check in on you and just bless you because he loves you. God will fund you living in his will.
Yes.
I know that. I know y'all say y'all may not want to hear that type of preaching. But he will fund you living in his will.
Amen.
And I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about peace.
Yes.
I'm talking about joy. That's why some of y'all living in his will and all hell breaking loose. But every time you come in here, you still smiling. You still got peace. You still got joy because he's funding you living in his will.
So
when we pray, remember, change your posture when you go to prayer.
Yes.
Then you pray. But afterwards, start seeking God's prescriptions. Yes. Get in the Word. Turn, when you turn from wicked ways, boy, God will bless you.
Yes.
And I can shout. I can run because this is just exciting to me.
Yes.
Just to know that God will check in on me.
Thank you, Lord.
And bless me. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Man,
yes.
Y'all. Oh, glory.
Yes.
He just will check in.
Yes.
And bless you. And I thank God for things that happen tangibly in my life. Because sometimes you hear stuff spiritually, but until you get something that you can see, you really don't quite get it.
Yes.
And now I get it, God. I know you checking in on me.
Yes.
You giving me extra than what I had. Ain't nothing like asking God for one thing. He give you a whole bunch more.
Yes.
I've talked to people that say, man, if I could just get my hands on this. And I'm saying to myself, God going to give you that and some more.
Yes.
Glory. Whatever you need to get your hand on, when you turn from weakness, he's going to put that hand on it and put this hand on something else. He's going to keep blessing.
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. Lord, I receive to turn from my wicked ways so you can continue to bless me and check in on me and give me more than what I asked for. More joy, more peace, more love, more comfort, more finances, everything I need, Lord, you're giving me that and some. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory.
That's offering time.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For those great words. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's offering time.
Yay!
You guys are doing so awesome. God is so pleased with us being cheerful as we're giving. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand.
Oh.